Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
All right, Devin, what do you have for us today from the Book of Knowledge?
Well, I have from the New Dictionary of Thoughts. I decided I'm just going to open randomly, try to find... I'm just going to point. I'm going to read what I pointed to, and hopefully... I can pronounce the words that I'm trying to read.
All right.
Because there's some biggins in here. All right. Here we go. I'll get the sound of the book. Here we go. Close my eyes. Okay. We are always looking to the future. The present does not satisfy us. Our ideal, whatever it may be, lies further on.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. That's I think that's one of those quotes that it kind of pertains to life in general for most people at most times in their life. You know, you're like, there's kind of those quotes that are always pertinent to being mindful, being in the moment, you know. But that's kind of like you're always looking to the future.
Yeah.
You know.
I like the end of it, our ideal. Whatever it may be, lies further on. I mean, that's in our head, right? And that's right, another. Yeah. That's another like the good old days are now, or you know, it's like one of those things,
right? Yeah.
Or you don't know you're in the good old days till they're gone. That type of thing.
Right. Yeah. Our ideal lies in the future. Or there's yeah, exactly. Or it's the like, the grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah.
Right, or there's something. I mean, that it drives you forward, but right. It also keeps you from enjoying the now. You know, yada yada. I know we always get deep in the beginning of podcasts. I know we don't mean to. And this one was random, so it could have been a silly one.
Could have been anything. Yeah. No, but I think that's good too because you know, I think it works pretty well right now with what we're doing with the channel. The channel's not growing super fast right now. You know, at this point in, you know, the last like 2 months or so. And so, you know, I think that's one of those things that everyone I've heard from a few different YouTubers and content creators that,
oh yeah,
like content creation and it, like everything's kind of slowing down right now a little bit. And maybe it's just a change in people, the way people are doing social media. Maybe it's just a lull. Maybe it'll pick back up. Who knows?
Yes. I think summer's always slow, but
yeah.
And to me, every time, right, I think we've gone back and over this and over. then you just have to realize that there is growth and you have to appreciate where you're at no matter where it is. Because,
right,
you get to a point and it's great, but it's always ebbs and, you know, it goes up and down. So
yeah,
appreciate if we get a new subscriber every day, which we've always gotten more than that. even right, at our lowest point, that's great. It's someone new has decided, someone has sat down, watched our videos, or for anyone else has looked at your work or your Instagram or whatever it is and decided to like it and reach it and push that button. That's cool. And I've gotten a couple things on Instagram too, and I forget someone, there's been some shout outs and some stuff, and that's interesting for my side of the Instagram, which is like this hidden, I like being like the Easter egg of the channel. Like it's like if there's this deeper Instagram, which is the Art of Camera Guy. So that's been fun. But a few people have reached out and said things, and that's kind of cool too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because I think, you know, people, obviously they see the Art of Craftsmanship, and they see in their mind's eye, they see my face, right? Because it's the face of what we're doing. But, you know, the Art of Craftsmanship is both of us equally together, working all the time together to make the channel better. So even like when, I'll jump on a live stream or something, and the people who know us know that there are two of us will be like, oh, look, there's the Art of Craftsmanship, you know, maybe Dustin, maybe Devin, you know, like, I wonder who that is. Like, you know, but then the majority of people just assume that it's me, you know, which most of the time it is me, because I'm the one like doing the, like, you know, the outreach stuff, like, usually. But I like that you consider that the Art of Camera Guy is like a Easter egg, you know. You gotta listen to the podcast, you gotta know us,
find out.
You gotta know those two, and then you can follow, right?
So if people reach out and follow, they're like, oh, okay, you really know.
Yeah, you right, know. Exactly. They're the dedicated ones, right?
Nice. But yeah, I find myself thinking that, like, wouldn't it be great to have one of these shops? You know, people get these shops and then everyone goes there and works, and we can have all this. Yep. And but I'm sure once we move on to that, we'll look back to where we are now with your shop, your basement shop, which everyone loves. Right. And go like, man, remember when it was just that, when we could just go downstairs and come upstairs and get some dinner. Right, and, you know, you could talk to your wife and daughter, and, you know, it was close. And
yeah.
So, you know, I'm enjoying it now. And we did. We're back in the shop after a couple weeks. And I'm sorry, everyone. I don't know if, Dustin, if you reached out on Instagram and said anything about us not being there last week.
No, I didn't. I figured the podcast 2 weeks ago at the end, we're like, maybe we'll be on next week. Maybe we won't. We're going to try, but we're not sure. So if people are listening to the podcast, you know, weekly, then at least they had a heads up that we might not do it. And for all of you listening this week, we did intend to record. We were going to record on Monday of last week. You know, today is Wednesday. So, or today's Thursday, not this previous Monday, but the one before that. It was also the day that I was packing and getting ready to leave to go on vacation for 10 days. And, just 8 days, but, so our intention was to record on the Monday during the day, cause weren't actually leaving until the evening. So we were just going to record on Monday during the day at some point, and then, I get going. That way we'd have that next episode for this previous Friday that we just missed. But I think about, you know, 7:30 or so when I got on the road, I had this thought in my mind. I was like, oh, we completely forgot to record the podcast today. And I just sent a message to you, Dev. Was like, oh, I guess we're not doing the podcast this week. Completely right. Slipped our mind. Yeah, because we were going to do it at noon or something, you know, like I guess maybe when Maeve was napping or whatever. We would
fit it's one just in, been... But it's been crazy busy, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. I might or might not be moving. So there's that. I got the puppy, the baby, and we got baseball in full swing. It's just everything. It does. It always hits at once. And all the other sports come together. So I'm working football, I'm working college sports. So everything just hits. Right. And Dustin, you're back to school, obviously, but.
Yeah, back to work this week, and then students come back next week. It was just all the prep, and we were trying to fit in one last vacation before that started, because my wife is going actually back to school. She's going to get her master's in library science, I guess MLS, from University of Maryland. So she's going to be starting that in the fall.
Is that Dewey Decimal System? That's library science?
Yep. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Just going to learn about that and get a big old metal cabinet and little drawers. Yeah, she's doing archival stuff is going to
be her focus. That's very cool.
Digital archives, yeah. So she's super excited, but she'll be back to school. She's doing virtual or, you know, online. But and then Corinne starts back to school, starts middle school, sixth grade. It's crazy stuff. All of you guys who've been following the channel since we started, you've seen her grow up, which is, I just think is pretty interesting. I always really liked that about Rango Star's channel with his son, Cody. You know, like when I started watching him, Cody was like, I don't know, 10 or something, you know, and now he's 16. So he's gone from like a little kid to like basically a man, you know, like a man size. He's like 6 feet tall. And it's, I just thought that was a man size man. Like Corinne's like an adult sized girl. But yeah, I mean, for everyone who's watched and followed along, you've seen, I was actually before we started, I was watching Joe Robinette's, one of his newest videos about, getting prepared to make a new camp, a new little camp by the river. And they had to clear a bunch of brush from this trail that they were driving down to him and his daughter, Emerald, who is about the same age as Corinne, maybe a little younger, but you know, I've seen in his videos her grow up over the years, and his daughter, who I, you know, watched the video where they did the like birth announcement. It's just fun to see all these different people. You can really learn them, and you feel like you're a part of their life in a little bit, you know, which we are. We only get these little glimpses. We only show, you know, our viewers a glimpse of what's happening in the shop, but there's something pretty intimate about that, about being in someone's space and staying with them for a few years and then getting these little tidbits of the rest of their life. So I've never been like completely against showing things about, you know, where we live and, you know, my daughter and my wife and doing things, you know, that's all kind of part of kind of the buy-in when someone enjoys what we do for the channel. And then, you know, a little bit about, they get that part of who we are.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, but it doesn't hurt if you don't mind, you know, like,
yeah, right. No, I mean, I think it humanized. Same reason why we always brought Sadie down in the shop. You know, people were like, oh, you know, this is a person. He's got a family and a dog. And that's what YouTube is, right? YouTube is a look into other people's lives. It's not production. It's not all set up and made. And, you know, it's, I mean, that's, I guess, what originally it was and what most people who started YouTube channels started that way. You know, filming yourself or, you know, one of the just like small things that grow and grow. So. I think it's interesting to grow with these different people and see their lives change. It's cool.
Yeah. So speaking of growing, actually, that not really speaking of, you went on another trip, another vacation, left me here in Maryland, and you went away on another trip.
Yep.
Up north, and you went to a couple, is that where you got all the stuff, or was that at home? Go ahead.
All right. So, first we can refer back to the yard sale that we talked about in the last podcast. So that yard sale, which I went to, which is an awesome yard sale, was a big kind of like estate sale, you know, big barn that had multiple shops inside of it, multiple rooms, and just a ton of, you know, kind of like a shop hoarder's dream shop. It was like a big giant spaces with just stuff everywhere. And then there are like a few more, like organized spaces. There was like a metal area and a woodworking area and multiple shop tables and stuff and tons of shelves and little drawers with hardware everywhere. So I went to the initial yard sale, got a bunch of stuff, had my Arbor Press stolen out from underneath me before I could pay for it. And was really happy with the things I got there, which is what we talked about last time. So after that, I reached back out to the woman who was running it just to say, like, hey, could I stop back by another time and get more stuff? Because there was so much stuff. I knew that she wouldn't have gone through everything that was there, you know. And so she told me I could come back the following week, you know, the following Saturday. She had somebody else coming to pick something up. And so I went back and got a whole bunch more stuff. A bunch of wood, just like, I don't know, just shop stuff, like all the stuff that you need all the time, the like tape and bottles of spray adhesive and map gas and I don't know, just like
springs,
you know, screws and hardware and just tons of stuff. And the cool thing too is the person who had this shop, you know, it was like a farm, so they're actively using stuff all the time. So they bought in, you know, like professional homeowner versions of backstock. So there would be like two or three cans of things that they would need, right? So I got a bunch of brand new stuff, or, you know, there'd be like four bottles of super glue on a little pegboard, you know, like all lined up. So it was like there were multiples of everything. So I got a ton of stuff that was just like unused or barely used. But there's all those little things that we buy all the time, and it adds up. So I got a whole bunch of stuff. And so that was awesome. So I got the last time I got a surface grinder, surface disc sander. I guess a disc sander, not a surface grinder. This time I got this cool little knife heater. So I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but it was interesting looking. And I figured I'd toss it in the box and see if I could get it tossed in with like a group rate for everything that I had, which is what I ended up doing. But it looked like a little mini forge. So it was kind of a pill shape. If you imagine one end is like a pill shape. So kind of, you know, long and round, and then long. So kind of, you know, a tube that's been squished down. What is that shape? I don't know what that shape is called. Or I'm trying to think of like what else is in that shape. Like a gel capsule pill that's been squished, you know, flat or whatever. So that, and it's small. It's like maybe 6 inches long by 2.5 inches wide by 1.5 inches tall. That's the full size of this shape. And it has a space in the middle like a forge would. You know, you slide something in and it's electric. So I got it, did a little research. It turns out that it's a, maybe it's either originally like a hot knife heater. So for doing, foam for, upholstery, for like, you know, furniture and stuff. So,
right.
You put your knife in, heat it up, and then you can cut through foam really easily. So it's like a little heater. I also saw people using it for like curling iron, heating up curling irons, like the old time, you know, just like metal curling irons.
Right.
You know, I saw some people using it that way. So I'm not exactly sure what its original purpose was. I think probably it's more of a furniture maker's knife heater thing, but I did throw a piece of steel in there and turn it on, and it heated up, you know, past, it went past critical temperature. So it went through all of the color ranges and then went to gray. You know, so when we heat treat knives, you know, we put them in an oven at 400 degrees for 2 hours, and it brings it up to that dark straw color, which is the temper colors you want to have that toughness, but also still hard. So it went past that, past the blue, past the purple, all the way to gray. So I was like, well, it might be kind of cool, you know, if I have a knife or something that I'm working on that I just need to soften it if it gets hard or something. Toss it in and heat it up, you know, soften the tang or something if I need to drill through it and I can't. I've had that problem before.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was cool. Just tons of stuff. I got like this 4-inch wide duct tape, which you saw today, which was
wild. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was this yard. So that was like the follow up yard sale. Like I said, I got a bunch of wood, just a bunch of stuff, you know, got a good deal on it. So then, since then, you know, before we went on vacation, I started working on my wife's, knife that I'm making for her. I'm making her a Puko with, like a curly birch handle with, turquoise dyed maple burl and then phosphor bronze spacers between it. So a little kind of EDC Puko knife. I posted about that a little bit, but I'm excited to be working on that. I got everything kind of cut down for the size that I need it, and I can start working on the handle because it'll be a hidden tang.
Mm-hmm.
And then before I went on vacation, I sharpened up my little Puko that I made a while back, and I posted it was it's a like a rhombic Puko, so the blade is a rhombus shape. So instead of it being just like bevels that go straight to flats and then up to the spine, it's beveled from the blade, you know, 2/3 of the way up, and then where it would be flats, it actually bevels back to the spine, so it gets narrower at the spine, so it's a rhombus shape. So a sloyd knife or a rhombic Puko, both the terms kind of reference that. So I made that with antler and Osage Orange handle. And so I sharpened that because I wanted to bring it on my on our vacation with us. We went up to Acadia up in Maine, and I knew it would be in the woods for a while. So, you know, I wanted to be some, do some carving. So I sharpened that. And then I was like, well, I need to make a quick sheath. I didn't want to make a full, like, belt sheath because it's more of like kind of a carving tool rather than a belt knife because it's fairly small. So I decided just to make a little cap sheath for it, right? Just a sheath to cover the blade. So I made that, you know, real quick, just two sides with a welt in between and just hand stitched it. And as I was hand stitching it, you know, I'm kind of doing a saddle stitch. So, you know, you have a long piece of thread with needles on both ends and you're going back and forth, going back through the same hole as you move down. And so I was pushing it through one side. I'm holding the little teeny sheath in my hand. And I'm pushing the needle through and it's like kind of catches as it's going through the hole. And so I push a little harder and I push it and it goes through and it sticks into my finger. Like you do when you're stitching things, you know, like, stuck in my finger. So I pulled it out real quick, you know, poked myself. So I just thought I poked myself. So I like pull it out real fast after, you know, cause I feel that pain, right? Pull it in and out. And then as I pull it out, blood like squirts out of my hand, like in two directions, like, whew, like, and I saw it like squirt forward and onto my workbench and onto like the stuff that I had there I was working on. And it was a weird thing because I'd never seen blood like squirt out of my body before. You know, you like you see that in movies and you hear people talk about it, but until it actually happens, it's like kind of alarming. You know, it's like this like quick, you know, and so this blood like shoots out of my finger, and so I just grab a paper towel and I hold my finger and I'm just thinking, you know, because it felt like a poke, you know. So as soon as I pulled it out, it didn't hurt. So I kind of hold my finger for a second and then I take it away, and I see the little hole. On the you know, inside of my finger. And then I realize there's blood on the back side of my hand. So I like look over and there's a hole on the back side of my finger too. So I actually like jab the needle all the way through my finger. So my middle finger, fortunately it was like, you know, closer to my ring finger. So it actually went like through and then out the back, but only, you know, through maybe a, you know, less than an eighth of actual depth. Although it went from the front to the back, it went along the side. So I didn't hit bone. I didn't hit anything like critical. It just went like in and out. And like I said, I was kind of holding it and it stopped bleeding. And I looked, and it pretty much stopped bleeding right away. I went up, put a Band-Aid around it and it was fine. Oh. But it was weird. And this was like the day before we were going on vacation. So I was like, oh no, like it swelled up a little bit for like an hour or two. And then it went away and it was fine. And it hadn't hurt or anything since.
It didn't hurt. It didn't, there wasn't like a pain.
No. Yeah. No. I mean, at one point I remember grabbing something cause we were hiking and I grabbed like a tree and I felt like a little prick pain, you know, like where it would have, where it was, you know, healing or whatever, but no, but it was a weird thing just seeing that, like realizing that I had poked a needle straight through my finger from front to back, in and out real quick.
Yeah,
but that is, yeah,
that's strange.
So that was fun. Yeah,
I did and that. Then, yeah. I did that once to my leg. I was building one of our dad's sheds, and I was moving some, I guess, some old ply. That had some right. nails in it.
Yep.
And you're kind of, you know, like, you know, doing quick lifts and then walking. And I'd lift a nail right into my calf.
Oh.
And it went in, you know, pretty yep. far. I don't know how far. Maybe the whole depth. And then, you know, I yank it out and it was rusty. And I never did anything. But it, the pain, there was a throbbing, like a soreness from being pierced. There was a soreness right. there. And actually, there's still like a, like a, almost like a hole, like a an area that whatever had, yeah, a divot that it just had died out, whatever was in there. It was really weird. But oh, I remember just that, like, it was so sore.
Yeah, right.
It was a weird, really weird feeling.
Yeah, this was a, you know, this is a leather stitching knife, so they're pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And it's, they had, it has like a, diamond shaped head, you know, too. Mm. So it kind of like cuts in more like a knife. But yeah, like I said, it, you know, I didn't think I didn't know I had gone all the way through until I realized there was blood on the other side as well. And I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Because it didn't feel like that. You know, it didn't hurt like I'd stabbed myself all the way through my hand. You know, it was like so quick.
Right.
And you get that initial pain anytime you poke yourself. And if you've ever done any sewing or anything, or even like with a pencil, you know, you like poke yourself, you just pull it out really quick.
Right.
And so that's what I did. I just pulled it right away and shot blood on my workbench and whatnot. It was fun. Good times.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I was concerned that it was going to ruin our trip, but it didn't.
And the front of the toy box that we're also building.
It did, yep. So that'll be covered in paint, but it'll have my blood, sweat, and tears on it. It already has my sweat on it, so try not to cry on it. Yeah. So yeah, later that day, or maybe that might have been Sunday or something, then Monday no, that was actually on Monday. You know, that's probably why we didn't record the podcast, because I was downstairs working on a knife sheath. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then that day we headed up. We went and stayed in New Jersey for a night for that evening. Stayed the night and then left early the next day. Drove up to, drove up to Newburyport, Massachusetts to visit. So we went to New Jersey first to visit with my wife's aunt and uncle. Stayed there for the night. Then we drove up to Newburyport, Mass. To visit with my father-in-law for the afternoon. Then we went from there up to Hampton, New Hampshire, which is only about a half an hour from Newbury, Mass. And stayed with my wife's uncle, so my father-in-law's brother. And went to Hampton Beach, which is about 10 minutes from his house. Went swimming in the ocean up there, which is really nice. Just for like an hour. It was really nice. I was surprised. I thought the water would be a lot colder up in New Hampshire, but I guess this time of year in the depth, it's like a really long, shallow, or really long, gradual depth change at that beach. So I think the water has a lot of shallow area. It was pretty warm comparatively. But yeah, it was nice. And then we stayed there, and then we left New Hampshire we got up about like 5 or so and left at 6 because we had to get up to the ferry up in New Harbor, Maine by 8:15. So we left really early, went up, got there, and then we took a ferry out to Monhegan Island. And if you guys follow along on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship, you have seen some of the pictures from out there. We went out, took our dogs out. And
like the tribe?
Did some artwork. Monhegan?
Yeah.
Not Mohican?
No.
The like last Mohican?
No, like Monhegan. Like Monhegan Sun, the casino, which is an Indian casino in New York, upstate New York.
I think it's Mohegan.
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 Mohegan, yeah.
Okay,
never mind.
Mohegan Sun?
Mohegan Sun, never mind.
Yeah, Mohegan, yeah. So Monhegan is the island off the coast of Maine. It's a pretty famous island for art. You know, the Wyeth family's been out there. A bunch of other artists and things have been out there and done work, and they have a bunch of artists on the island. And my wife and I, before we were married, the summer after junior year, we took a trip all through New England to visit a bunch of her family and stayed out on the island for 2 nights. So it was nice. This is the first time we've been back since then, which might have been 2004, I think. So it's been quite a while.
That is
but,
nice.
It was really nice to go back out and see the island again. We just stayed out for the day, walked around. It was cool to take our daughter out there, and we did some artwork. We did 3 paintings. So my daughter did a painting of Monhegan Island on the backside of the island facing out to the ocean. There's really tall cliffs, like 165 feet is, I think, one of the tallest ones. And then there's other ones. There are a couple different bluffs. And so we went out to the cliffs and we did I did a drawing and she did a painting looking down the south side of looking down south of the island and did another cliff in the distance. She did a watercolor there. And then we kind of worked our way around and she did another watercolor. Or I did a watercolor, and then my wife did a watercolor at the bottom, which we ended up framing all 3 and giving it to the people we stayed at that night, which is my wife's great aunt. So we stayed at her house.
Nice.
Yeah. So we took the ferry back in and went and stayed at her house, which is only about 20 minutes or so from the ferry, which was really nice. It's the first time my wife has seen her great aunt in quite a long time, and then it's the first time I ever met her. So was really nice. So we got Wednesday with them. And then we went up to, the next morning, went up to Acadia. It was really cool. So on the way to Acadia, we stopped at Liberty Tool Company, which I'd heard of, but I didn't really realize where I was exactly. And then my wife's great aunt mentioned it, like, oh, you guys should stop at Liberty Tool. And I was like, oh, that's near here, because I'd heard of it. It's this awesome, a building that's just full of tools, all like vintage and old tools and all sorts of different stuff. So, but it's really like just a plethora of every single tool you could think of. So went and stopped there. I ended up getting a file, like a single file from there, but it was a cool file, you know, kind of a funky shape, like a round on one side, like a rat tail file, and then it tapered to like a knife on the other side, so a bevel all the way to the edge. So it's kind of a cool shape, an interesting shape, and kind of versatile. So that was nice.
Yeah, then, you know, I think real quick, I think a great thing to do at a flea market or a something like that, antique mall. And it's a cool thing because you need it, but think of one thing you might want and then search that thing out. Obviously there's a lot of things that you might see, but think of like, okay, I want a book, or I want, like, obviously it's usually something you need. Like, hey, I'm looking for an axe, or I'm looking for this. And usually people always have that, but it's fun to have. I mean, I always have a couple records in the back of my head that I'm always looking for. Yeah, so I'm always searching out like the stand, like the record stand, or, Now I'm always looking for axes and things like that. So pick one thing and then go in. It makes a lot more fun because if you really find it, it's great.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, the my main goal is always like axes. That's the thing I'm always looking for when I'm at vintage places and flea markets and stuff. But old tools, you know, like old tools in general, if I see old tools, I'll look at them because I love old tools and I love using them and I love restoring them. We did end up stopping at two other places on the way. I got a Kelly Wood Slasher Boys axe, and then a 12-pound sledgehammer, but like an older one, so a nice like tapered, tapered ends on both sides. So picked those up on the way up, and then we headed up. Yeah, so we headed to Acadia. We were there for four nights, stayed in a cool little one-bedroom cabin, just like a single bedroom with a queen size and then a bunk bed in it and a little kitchenette thing that, you know, or just like a little stand that we brought a little propane stove, and there was a mini fridge in there. So we had that, had electricity. So we were to plug in our fans and stuff. And we stayed there for the four nights. It was really nice. We intended to like hike multiple days. But after we took like a pretty long walk when we were in Newburyport with my father-in-law, and then we took the dogs out to Monhegan Island, and after walking around the island, Luna, our little beagle mix, her paws were kind of tore up. Her calluses were flaking off and stuff, and they were rubbed kind of red. So they weren't cracking or bleeding, but they were red. We could tell that it was down past the calluses. So we did like one longer hike, and then by the end of it, we could tell that she was pretty sore. She was limping. So then the next couple of days, we like found other things that we could do. Like we went to this one little spot where it was about maybe 7/10 or so of a mile to get out to the end of this point that had all these awesome tide pools. So the tide goes in and out, you know, 15, 20 feet or so out, you know, up in the north, when you get further north on the east coast. So when the tide goes out, you know, you get all these spots where the water can't go out, right? It's tides going out, but then there's areas that collect these pools. And then in these pools, there's all sorts of different life that gets caught in there. So it's really fun to go. So we were up there and I did some more artwork and hung out there for the day. And then, we went and took a little tour around, Acadia, like a driving tour. There's like this one road that goes around the perimeter of it, which is really nice. You can see all these beautiful outlooks, and we stopped at a few places and went into Bar Harbor and got some, did a little touristy stuff, walked around, got a few, souvenirs and then just hung out. It rained one day pretty good. So we just kind of hung out that day and did stuff in the cabin. It was awesome. It was just really nice, really calm. And then we took like 2 days to get back, 'cause it's probably like 12 hours or so to get back from there. So we drove back down to Hampton, New Hampshire, which is about three and a half, four hours, and then about 6.5 hours or so to get home after that. So it was really nice. It was a good trip, And, you know, came back and right into work. So work this week and then right in school next week. So
working, was, shooting.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I think the dogs were happy to be back because they've been leashed, you know, the whole time while we were there, just because, you know, wherever we were visiting people and out, you know, parks and stuff, you can't have your dogs off the leash. So they're really happy to get back home, and we let them run around a bit and took them on a walk, and it was nice. And then, yeah, and then now we're filming. Back to filming, working on the projector box, which is going to be fun.
Yep, projector box, toy box, everything else, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, getting back to it.
But, yeah, so a short one today. We still have, we have a lot of things to do. I'm going to be editing tonight. Dustin has to work in the morning, and then I got to work tomorrow night. We are busy, busy. Do you want to start with a recommendation?
Sure. Yeah, my my recommendation this week is Old Hickory Forge, and that's John Norwood. John's a really awesome YouTuber and has like Instagram at Old Hickory Forge, the same same as his YouTube, which is Old Hickory Forge. John's a blacksmith and just a maker. He does knives, he does, you know, tools, hammers, all sorts of great stuff. He was at Blade Show this year and sold a bunch of stuff and had a bunch of stuff left over. And I know Brian House has a couple of his hammers and a bunch of other people. He made some really, like a whole run of really cool twisted railroad spike knives recently. I think he's made tons and tons of them, but he was posting about that. And the reason why I was thinking about him specifically is he just posted a Bowie knife that he made out of a Farrier's Rasp Bowie knife with a guard made out of Farrier's Rasp and the pommel, the butt pommel made out of Farrier's Rasp, and then the handle's made out of an antler. So I was like, that's cool, you know, just like, and he posted, he was like, you know, what goes good with a Farrier's Rasp blade? How about a Farrier's Rasp guard? And why not a Farrier's Rasp pommel as well? So it's like all things, you know, so you can see the teeth and stuff on it. So it turned out really nice. I thought it was awesome, and just the shape is really good, really classic, and just a really nice looking Bowie knife. I've as a knife maker and a knife enthusiast, I've looked at a lot of knives over the years, and a lot of times Bowie knives aren't my favorite shape, depending on how people do it, you know, like, because there's such a wide variety. It's just a, you know, it's a blade with a clip point and a guard and a handle, you know, like, so that's kind of the, what a Bowie is, but there's so many variations of what a Bowie could be. And I just think he did a really good job on his, on that one. So check him out, John Norwood, on Instagram at Old Hickory Forge, and you can find him on YouTube, Old Hickory Forge as well. He's another Forge and Fire contestant.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, seemed like a good guy.
Good guy. All right. Mine is a thing. Now, you don't really have to link it, Dust, and I don't know if I've talked about it. We have. We wanted to talk to someone about it, too. The Oculus Quest 2, right? Standalone VR headset. It's great. Everyone that tries it loves it, as long as they don't get sick. But I'm talking about it because they talked about this feature a while back, but finally someone's going to do it in September. There's a game called Space Trainer, I think. Sorry, the exact game doesn't matter. But what it used to be, Space Pirate Trainer. You would just shoot. It was like an arcade game, like Galaga,
right?
Or one of those games, but you're actually in it and you're shooting things. They've now made, and they're going to do a free update if you have the game, where you can have a play space of 30 by 30 feet. Oh, I think that's max of the Oculus. So you pick, you're going to need, you know, either a warehouse or a tennis court or a basketball court outside. But you can play live against someone else in a laser tag arena.
Oh, man, that's
so
awesome.
In your headset, as you're running around, there's walls and things where you can't see the other person. Obviously, if you're watching two people run around, like ducking and, you know, running by each other and not being able to see each other. But in the headset, since it does inside-out tracking, so it knows where you are because of cameras on the headset, look out and spot things, and it knows where you are. So it looks as if you're in this futuristic space station thing playing tag with each other.
That's great.
And that's so cool.
That's super cool. I wonder, do you have to, could you play against someone else who is not there with you?
Yes.
They
do have it where you can, I don't know all the details, but they do have it where you can play other people online. but I don't know if you'd both need your own space. I think right now it's made for two people kind of link their headsets together or they're on right. one network, and then they do it in the same space. So you and a friend would have to go to a tennis court or something and play, and it's like this 30-30. Oh, and they let you make your own spaces. So you can sit there.
That's cool.
Design your own little laser tag arena. Find someone with a buddy. Obviously, you both need headsets. Yeah, and then do a full running around laser tag.
That's awesome. I can imagine people being like, why don't you just go play laser tag? Well, you know, because with the Oculus, you could be anywhere. You know, the around you could be anything. Any number of guns, you know, any like number of... like obstacles and who knows.
I saw some stuff. You guys can YouTube it if you don't look up what it looks like. It looks really cool, you know, right at whatever you're on a space station or blah blah blah, but it's just cool to you can run around in this area and it looks like they were having fun. So it's a free update.
That's cool.
So if you already have it, check it out. Our brother Drew has one, so maybe we'll find we'll come over. I know there's a tennis court near you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, come over.
So maybe I'll bring Drew over and we have two headsets and we all can try it.
Nice. That's so cool. Nice. Awesome.
That's it.
Space Pirates.
Space Pirate Trainer.
That's such a cool game. And I played that on yours, the little demo or whatever it is, but yeah, super cool.
Yeah.
Just like lasers, different guns you can use, shooting at things like
And the cool thing, the Oculus gets better and better with software updates. Like now they have it where in a virtual world, you can tell it where your couch is. So it shows a virtual version of your couch or chair.
Nice.
So you can walk over to it, sit down. Yep.
Nice.
It's crazy, but it's very cool and relatively cheap. The headset's $300, which is ridiculous for a game console and a VR. It's really cool if you want to try some stuff.
Nice. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, like Devin said, this is a short one today. We're just busy, busy. We filmed tonight, and Devin ran home. We jumped on record, and back to it. So we will not plan to miss any more podcasts in any time in the near or distant future, but who knows? You know, we do our best to try to come on and chat with everybody once a week and let you know what's going on, and sometimes we have some really cool stuff to talk about. Sometimes we just talk about what's going on in our lives. But we really appreciate everybody who does listen and everybody who supports us on Patreon. And if you don't, that's fine, too. You know, just listen and share it and tell your friends about it. We've had quite a few people reach out, you know, saying that they found us through someone else and they're really happy and they like listening. So all of that really makes a difference. We appreciate everyone who has shared and everyone who's supported us anyway at all on our channel or on the podcast. It's been a blessing. So. Just remember, you guys can always follow us on Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship, and at The Art of Camera Guy. You can go over and subscribe and follow and watch us on YouTube, The Art of Craftsmanship. And hopefully, like I said, you don't have any reason to miss anything coming up. Back to school, so I can't take any more vacations, not until Maker Camp. So we'll be at Maker Camp. We keep saying that. So if you guys are going to be there, find us. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.